Hi, I'm Erin Hartz. Welcome to Grace Plus Boundaries, a weekly memoir in a podcast. I've realized through the past decade of my recovery that I learned the most about emotional maturity through listening to the triumphant stories of others. Are you yearning to unpack the effects of intergenerational trauma in your life? Do you want to stay true to your feelings, yet also learn how to accommodate the sensibilities of your loved ones? I'm dedicated to cracking the code of combining boundary setting with grace towards one another. Educate, evaluate, and evolve. Let's do this together. Hello, hello, good morning. And here we are on a Sunday morning for me. I'm recording this as there's some rain lightly falling outside my window. It's actually so gorgeous outside with the contrast of the bright green plants and the dark rainy clouds. So pretty. I've always really liked the rain. I even lived in Oregon for a year during college, and I hope to maybe someday move back there because I just think it's so pretty. Okay, so today I'm calling the episode Standing Up for Justice, but maybe it's just about, you know, voicing our concerns, sharing how we feel about things at times when we've really thought about them, and how that is so important, I believe, as you can tell since I have a podcast, right? But so something, you know, different little things go on in life with our jobs and with, if you have children, there's things that happen at school. There's this after school program that my son goes to, and something happens there that I'm going to tell you guys about today. And I really struggled for over a month about, should I email the school about this? Should I not? Is it important? What's going to happen if I do that? Like, what could be the positive consequences, but what could also be the negative consequences if I speak out and share some stuff? So today I'm going to share with you just a time I decided to stand up for justice, or I decided to stand up for my views and my son's health in his after school program, even though, yeah, it's possible that there could be some negative light shed on him because of this. I hope not. But it's a gamble when we share our opinions and views about things, because in this world, there are a lot of repercussions when we speak out, and people don't like it when others speak out at times, unless you happen to be speaking to people that have high emotional intelligence, high self-esteem, and are willing to try and solve problems also, which is probably not the norm. So I think that the people I shared this with, it's possible it'll go okay, but really that's not the point. The point was I needed to share my view and my opinion and something, an incident that happened, and I did it with grace plus boundaries, I think. So there we go. So I hope this helps you decide to speak out when you hear something that doesn't sit right with you. There's another thing going on at my school right now that I don't like, and I'm deciding, like, how can I share my view without getting all emotional about it? Just speak clearly one or two sentences about what I feel about this thing that's going to be happening. Anyway, all right, so a month ago or so, my son and I were talking, and he told me there is this incident, and he shared with me very privately about something he had seen on a friend's computer during their after-school program, and it had to do with pornography. And so the school, of course, has like a firewall or some kind of filtering system that stops students from searching for pornography or different things like that. But kids are smart, and they're always going to find a way around those types of things. And I think his friend has older brothers that maybe taught him about this website he could go to, and then you have, you know, access to the whole internet, or whatever it is. So that's what happened. And when my son told me about it, I didn't overreact, and I just listened, and we talked about it, and truly, it broke my heart to know that as a 10-year-old, he had to see that and he was porn exposed. But luckily, since talking to Amy Lang, who I had on the podcast a few weeks ago, and educating myself about this is the norm now that children are exposed to pornography. I think the age is like 9 and definitely 10 on average, that's the first time they're porn exposed. So in that way, I mean, I wasn't necessarily surprised, but it still made me really sad. I don't want my son to see stuff like that. And even though I think doing something wrong or something he knew wasn't okay, you know, like a bad behavior, it's kind of exciting, right? And it's definitely intriguing, the whole aspect of it. So I get that he was curious. All kids are curious. I was 100% curious at that age. But seeing a video, I think, is just so full blown, right? Like, I think that it also was confusing for him. And I think he did think it was a little strange. And I didn't get the feeling that he really wanted to continue watching it. It was more just like he was kind of excited about doing a bad thing for a minute. And it sounds like that might have been the only incident. I don't know. There could be more. That's, I guess, not really, what can I do about that, right? So since I found out about that, I've just been kind of sitting with it. I definitely didn't want to talk to the people at the after school program and get my son involved or his friend involved necessarily, because I want my son to tell me things and I don't want him to think that I'm going to just go betray his confidence. So I really had to think about it for a while. Then over Christmas, I went out to breakfast with two of my good friends that are also teachers, and they're kind of in the administrator realm. And I was kind of telling him what happened, and I started crying because I was sad that my son had seen that, and that, you know, it's real. And this podcast is Grace Plus Boundaries, because I'm learning how to set boundaries and how to be graceful about it. But it's also about navigating intergenerational trauma. And to me, this is one of those moments where I have a choice whether to do something to try to break the cycle, or do I stay silent and allow this kind of stuff to happen because I want to bury my head in the sand, or because of the reasons I've already expressed. I don't want to betray my son's confidence, or I don't want to cause problems. I don't want his after school program to be like, well, your son's not perfect either, and this is what he did, blah, 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 if there happens to be someone like that there. Like, that's the kind of pushback we get when we speak out on things. Or, you know, somebody calling me overreacting, or, oh, come on, like, whatever, pornography is no big deal. That's what one reaction was when I shared this story, that someone's husband had said that about their children when they were exposed to porn or knew that their sons were watching. It was kind of like, no big deal, you know? Well, I do think it's a big deal, and I know that I can't control everything, but I want to educate my son for him to know that this is a very slippery slope, that these things are not how the reality is when people have sex. Like, this is just a show, and this is, you know, it leads to so much misogyny, so much misinformation about sex. And, you know, at such a young age, it really affects the brain. And this is something, like, if I can say something about it and speak out, I do think that that is breaking the cycle. You know, of course, I can't break all the cycle, but this is one step forward in saying, like, hey, this is not okay. Could we maybe have a better system in place for computer usage at school where there's more monitoring, or maybe they don't need to have computers during free time? I mean, that would be the way I would go if this was happening in my classroom. I'm pretty serious about it teaching middle school. I don't ever let my students use their phones. And, you know, they'll try a million ways to get to use their phones during class. Oh, I'm just listening to Spotify, or I'm just doing that. And, you know, like, I'm a clear no on that one. And I know other teachers are not. And it's just like one thing leads to the other. And, you know, if this happened in my classroom, I would say, hey, you know what, we're either not going to have free time anymore, or we're just going to have free time playing games or drawing or doing something together as a class rather than you being on your computers if I can't trust that you're going to not, you know, go to websites that are inappropriate for school. All right. So I had this, my one friend that was an administrator that I was talking to at the breakfast. She, even though she, with her own children, it sounds like she wasn't that worried about it or it hadn't become a big issue. She said, you know, I think you probably should contact the school just so they can maybe find out if what website that is that the kids are using and maybe block it for the district, you know? So at least one thing is blocked. So kids can't just be going on any website that they want all the time. And I thought, you know, she had a point there that like speaking out and at least doing that, it could help other kids. If a bunch of other kids are using this website, this could help at least delay them for a while. Maybe it'll stop another kid from being porn exposed at such a young age. So I've kind of mulled around with her words for a while. And, you know, it took me a couple weeks longer. And finally this morning, it really was Dr. Martin Luther King that who I was listening to one of his speeches again today. And he just, oh, I love him so much. And, you know, it was MLK Day, his birthday last Monday. And I'm going to an event today with my son that celebrates Martin Luther King's life and his messages. And there's going to be a talk about it. And it's going to be cool. So I guess that was on my mind. It just felt like a social justice day for me. So I decided to write the email, and I'm going to share the email here, what I wrote, and take out the people's names, because I just want to show you guys what you can do too. And I hope that you do this. So if something happens, you know, we can stand up for things. We can share about them. Grace plus boundaries, right? Like I can be graceful. I think this email was pretty graceful, but it also said what I expected to be done and demonstrates that we can speak up for what we need and what our kids need. And I truly think that little acts of communication like this, or being open to talking about stuff like this more often, are what's going to make a difference in our world. How else are we going to stop this cycle of secrets and silence and not standing up for ourselves? Like, this is it right here. Me writing this email is me taking a stand on, do I believe in kids being exposed to pornography when they're at school? No, I do not. My son was only 10 years old, and that is not okay. And someone does need to know this is happening if they don't already. Okay, so I decided to email the principal because she is a good person, and I think that she would want to know that this was happening, even though it was at the after school program. I've talked to her before, and she's like a really great person. So I added her on the email, and then I added the teacher for the after school program, and I tried to find the after school program's like director to email, but they did not provide an email address on the website to contact anyone, just people at the local sites. So I did add like their address, but I think it might just go to the after school teacher. Okay. So I said, "Dear Dr. So-and-so and the teachers at the after school program, I became aware of an incident recently that happened during the after school free time last school year. I decided it's important for you to mention it so that there could be more supervision or some other better practice in the future concerning computers. Let me just start by saying that I love the after school program and I'm so grateful for it. It has been a wonderful blend of sports, art, and enrichment. I know nothing's a perfect system, and I'm not at all discounting the program or the kind-hearted teachers. There's one aspect that I've always been worried about that has caused an issue for me, which is the fact that computers and computer time is not monitored well during the after-school program. My son is allowed to watch YouTube during homework time on a regular basis. I'd rather him read a book if he's done with his work, and I don't allow YouTube at home. And on Fridays, he seems to be even less monitored during the free time block. In the past, I have mentioned this as a problem to the teachers after school, and they are aware it's not ideal, but nothing has changed. I just found out that last spring, my son's friend found a website that allowed him to go beyond the district firewall, and his friend showed him pornography on the computer during the after-school program's free time. This really saddened me to tears to hear, and while it was exciting for my son, it also was confusing. I know this is a reality in our lives now that kids are exposed to pornography at such young ages. It's really horrifying and damaging still, even if it's common. I'm a teacher and I know this stuff happens. I also know that we can monitor computers better than this. Maybe the teachers can use Bloxy to check screens, which is already provided by our district. That's a program I use in my class that will block. It'll help allow me to see what each person has on their screen on my computer. And then I can like block websites and stuff like that. Or maybe free time shouldn't involve screens at all. And at the least, teachers should be walking around monitoring more what's going on. I don't want any student to get in trouble, and I know my son isn't perfect either. Kids are curious and they push boundaries. But maybe tech can look at his friend, this person I named the kid's history, and figure out what the website is that he was using to access all this bad content. And then maybe the district can block it for the whole district. At least, please look into this child's history and see if you can find anything suspicious. At the most, contact his parents to alert them what's going on if anything is found. I'd be willing to discuss this further. Thanks for listening. And then I put my name. So that is how I stood up for myself and my child today. I really was a little bit worried before I pressed send, and I already said kind of why, but this year my son, you know, he's a really good kid in some ways, in most ways, but he also gets really silly and he definitely messes around a lot in class, I think. And I don't know exactly what it is, but it feels like this year in his after-school program, there's a little bit of contention, and I don't know why, but it's just that feeling I get, like something, something's not quite right about their feelings about my son this year, and I hadn't felt that in other years. So that's why it even made me a little less want to speak out, because there, I can imagine the teacher reading this and being like, oh God, there's Erin again, you know, trying to say that her son's perfect and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I don't think it comes across that way. I don't think my son is perfect. I think he's pretty amazing. But I know that he's just a kid that's curious like any other. And he's just a kid that is silly and wants to laugh all the time, like a lot of other boys his age. And I'd be willing to hear it if he was part of this, or they decide that they're going to tell me more about this situation. I don't want him to get in trouble or his friend to get in trouble necessarily. I mean, that's not my goal. I really hope that the kids don't know I sent the email at all. I really hope my son doesn't know, because then he's probably not going to want to tell me stuff in the future. All I want is to protect other kids from this happening. And, you know, I hope for the best. I have good intentions. I prayed about it. I asked God for help. What else can I do? You know, I really thought about it before sending that email. And that's the best I can do. And I'm willing to step forward and move through what comes next. So thanks for listening today. I hope this gave you some strength, and that you go out and write an email expressing your feelings about something that's important. And remember to just, while you're setting that boundary, you know, have some grace about it. I hope that my email shared that. All right, take care. Bye-bye. You deserve a big high five and a smile in the mirror for showing up for yourself today. Thank you for your dedication to introspection and self-awareness, because our personal evolution is what will make this world a better place. If you enjoyed the episode, please give me a 5-star review and share it with a friend. And let me know if you want to be a guest to share how you are navigating intergenerational trauma in your life. You're welcome to join my free monthly goal setting workshop on the first Wednesday of every month. Just DM me at iHeartsErin.